So today we embark on a four-week series of t-shirt wearing. We decided, you know, we do a lot of t-shirt wearing anyway during the summer here at Smyrna Park. We send off ASP teams usually at the end of June, and they are normally wearing a whole potpourri of ASP shirts from years past as we send them forth, and then they get a unified shirt that they wear along the way. This year was a coral, not pink, a coral shirt. And then in the month of July, we have 2 weeks of Vacation Bible School coming up. And the kids this year will be in orange, and the adults will be wearing maroon. I did not know that Erica was a Hokie fan like that, but apparently she is. And so we're going to have a sea of color all over the next couple weeks in this, throughout this building all week long. And then in the month of August, our ASP team will report back. They'll be wearing their t-shirts. The VIM team will head off to Costa Rica, and so they'll all be clad in matching t-shirts as they make their way through the airport at BWI and head down to Costa Rica. And so we do a lot of t-shirt wearing anyway. So we decided to have some fun with it, and over the next couple weeks, we're going to ask you to wear t-shirts to church, or if you want to. You don't have to, but if you want to, you can participate. And today it's about I Pledge Allegiance, and we ask you to wear something that you pledge allegiance to, an institution, a country, or maybe a team. And then next week it's going to be a message that matters, a t-shirt that you have that has something that says something that's important to you, just a message that matters in any way. The third week we're going to give you permission to wear your oldest, rattiest, dirtiest t-shirt to church. So spouses, you cannot veto these choices. Because we're going to be talking about how sometimes we have a hard time letting go of things, right? They become sentimental markers for a certain time in our life. And we'll be looking that week at the text from the crossing of the Jordan River and how they took stones and they marked that moment in time. And how important it is to have sacred markers in our lives that mark our progress along this journey. And then the last week of the month is sort of a free-for-all. You can wear a new Love, Serve, Follow t-shirt. They're on display, and they'll be available for order next week if you'd like to have a brightly colored shirt that represents Smyrna Park United Methodist Church. Or you can wear that Bible school t-shirt or ASP or VIM t-shirt, something that connects you to the life of this church. And so you'll have an opportunity to do that the last Sunday of this month. But today, it's an Independence weekend, and we'll talk about pledging allegiance, what it is that we pledge allegiance to. I learned early when I moved back to the Baltimore area that there's a little bit of fervor for this team among many of you. So, there were a few Ravens shirts in attendance at the early service. And I don't know if any of you get that decked out for the games, but that is passion, isn't it? And then we get... this is not... there we go. And some always, whatever team it is, there are throwback jerseys, right? For the greats of the past, right? Number 52. All of you can tell me who number 52 was? Ray Lewis, right? Ray Lewis. And so you wear those throwback jerseys that represent the traditions of the past. I discovered early on that this is an Orioles town. When I came here 5 years ago for Vacation Bible School, it was red t-shirt day. We had different colors we were wearing every day. And I made the mistake of wearing a Nats t-shirt. You would have thought that I had done the worst thing possible. People looked at me and said, "What are you doing wearing that t-shirt?" I had to explain that. Like, I did live near Washington for 16 years. I liked the Nats, and it was the only red t-shirt in my wardrobe. But this is a town that is fervent about the Orioles when they're good and when they're really, really bad, right? We still love our O's, and we won't stop cheering for them, and we continue to raise young fans and a new generation of people that love the O's as well. My daughter went to a school that was dripping with school spirit. Down at Clemson, my other daughter was at a sea of orange and purple, a different kind of sea of orange. And I don't know, they are the nicest fans down there. I remember we were down there one time, were playing TCU. They actually lost to TCU. This is back when Andrew Dalton was the quarterback at TCU, for those of you who know that name. And they had come in on a rainy day. They had beaten Clemson. And we were staying in a hotel with a bunch of fans from TCU. And they traveled in the Horn Frog Mobile. It was a converted... ambulance that was painted purple, and they went to every road game. And they said, "We've never been treated like this before." Before the game, the Clemson fans were inviting us into their tailgates. After the game, after we had just beaten you, they were inviting us into their tailgates. "We've never been treated like that." So it was a wonderful place to watch a game. It got better as they went along. The freshman year, my daughter was there. They had this little-known receivers coach. His name was Dabo Swinney. and he was hired as the interim coach, and then they made him the head coach at the end of the year, and it turned out to be a pretty good decision, I think, for the Tigers, those of you who know anything about Clemson football. Well, we were down at ASP this week, down in Appalachia, Virginia, way down in the southwest corner of the state. It borders West Virginia, and it's right on the edge of Tennessee, and it's right above North Carolina. It was not surprising to see the Vols flag in somebody's backyard. Not surprising to see the Union Bears. That was the Union High School that had come together. They consolidated two high schools. It was called Union. And so we saw Bears, just like you'd see Severna Park Falcons stuff around our community. You saw that all around that community. We saw Rebel flags. We were down in that part of southwest Virginia. We saw the American flag. We had a culture night, and we had some great music from the area, learned about all of the traditions around coal and moonshine and the music from Appalachia. Just a great night of music. We saw even earlier flags, the Betsy Ross flag that was flying over one of the homeowners' porches. And there was even patriotic shower curtains as we were redoing bathrooms. And our own crew was there on this beautiful field that they were overlooking, holding up a flag because it was Independence Day down there for us as well. If you were down in the nation's capital this week, you know there was a big celebration of Independence Day and the 4th of July, complete with a Blue Angels flyover, right? And so we're used to the Blue Angels here, right, in our community, but they got to fly over the capital as well for that celebration. Giant flags paraded down Independence Avenue. The president spoke, and it was lots of red, white, and blue. The rain didn't dampen the spirit, and there were lots of people there, and he spoke about the fabric of our country and all the people who have contributed to this process of freedom and this ongoing experiment that is America. And of course, all topped off by fireworks. It wouldn't be 4th of July without fireworks. Now, if you didn't get to go or decided not to go downtown, your celebration looked probably a little smaller, right? This is the Annapolis celebration, the parade down Main Street. I've only lived in Annapolis for 5 years, and I have to say I've been to a lot of parades there, and most of them are kind of underwhelming. Would that be a good description? They're not grand, and they're kind of just fun. They're very local, and it's a lot of fun, and they look like this, lots of kids waving flags and blowing bubbles and cars coming down the street. Just a lot of fun. But this gets multiplied all over our country on 4th of July, doesn't it? All the little town communities that celebrate like this. And that's part of the richness of our heritage and the richness of our national spirit. But one of the other things that was taking place in Annapolis that day was just up the street at the PACA House. Now, I've been told by friends of mine who are lawyers that there are 2 days you ought to go to a courthouse. One is Adoption Day. I've never been able to do that, but Adoption Day is just supposed to be the most amazing, joyful day in a courthouse when adoptions are finalized, and usually it's for a number of kids, and so that's a great day. The other day is Citizenship Day. If you ever get to go to a courthouse when people are being sworn in as U.S. citizens. Now, on this particular day, on 4th of July in Annapolis, there are 15 people sworn in. I think that's the high school ROTC leading the color guard, but there are 15 people being sworn in from 13 different countries who were pledging allegiance to our country. They had made this their home, and they were claiming that this now was where they would put their allegiance. And there were very powerful testimonials and quotes from them in the Capital Gazette this week about what this moment meant and what it meant after 10 or 12 or 15 years to be on this journey and now to be able to call themselves like we do, Americans. Just very sacred moments of pledging allegiance. If any of you are following, the World Cup, the Women's World Cup, please do not give me any score updates. I'm recording the game at home. Okay, I don't want to know anything about the game. But the World Cup is a chance to see the world on display with all kinds of passion, right, and all kinds of pride in all of their countries as well. When the U.S. was playing France earlier, just less than a week ago, it was all red, white, and blue because the two flags are all red, white, and blue, just different countries, right? And so it was just a sea of red, white, and blue. And there have been many American kids and adults, and especially the girls that have been featured, looking up the ones that they want to be on the soccer field someday. All these young girls who play soccer in their youth leagues around the communities and around the country, cheering them on over there. So it's a great festive thing, a place to put love of soccer and love of country together. Now, against all of this backdrop of these loyalties, these various loyalties in our lives, whether they be orange or purple or red, white, and blue, or whether it be an institution or a country, or whether it be a team, comes the Shema. The Shema. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. This is a foundational scripture verse in the Hebrew scriptures. It is and a symbol, so much so that one word comes to define the prayer. Shema, hear or listen, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. You can see it in artwork in synagogues if you visit, or in contemporary Jewish artists will take that word and take that prayer and make all kinds of beautiful quilts and drawings and all kinds of things. It is akin to a cross in some ways in the Jewish culture, the Shema. It's an anchor, foundational understanding. The Lord our God is one. And you read this so beautifully, but we're going to go back over these words. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. This is a moment in Israel's history when they have been set free from bondage, when they are coming together and forming an identity as a people. And now Moses has taken the people into reminding them about God's claim on their lives. God is their source of life. And God is the direction to point their ultimate loyalties. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one, the Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with everything you've got, with all your heart, soul, and with all your might. And then he goes on to say, as if knowing that our loyalties are easily split, and our loyalties easily go this way and that way. Keep these words that I'm commanding you today in your heart. Recite them to your children. Talk about them when you are at home, when you're away, when you lie down, when you rise up, in the course of your everyday, not just on special occasions, not just on a special time when you come to church on a Sunday, but every day, right? Remember these words, the Lord our God is one. Now, when we teach our confirmands about the Ten Commandments, we use a little mnemonic device. We use the fingers, and we've taught children like this too. And every finger or combination adds to the commandments. And the first commandment is, I am the Lord your God. You shall have no other gods before you. And the way we teach that is we say, God is number one. God is number one. Not the Ravens, not Clemson, not even the USA. God is number one. And you teach this again and again. You bind them as a sign on your hand, fix them as an emblem on your forehead, write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. And I would say if Moses were talking in the 21st century, Moses might even add, put it on a t-shirt, right? Wear it so that you remember it, so that it becomes part of you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. Jesus hearkens back to the Shema when he talks about the great commandment. He's asked about what is the great commandment. He lets the man answer for himself. You should love the Lord your God with your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus says, do this and you will live, right? And the earliest Christian confession before the Apostles' Creed was put together, all of those words and all of those tenets of our faith, the earliest Christian confession was three words. Jesus is Lord. Which was to say that Caesar was not. The nation was not. Nothing else would have ultimate authority in your life. It was a dangerous statement to make in that time when they were an occupied nation, right? To say that Caesar was not Lord, but that God was Lord, that Jesus was Lord. And so, friends, whenever we gather in this place, and especially on a weekend when we celebrate our love of country, which is a good thing, when we celebrate in this place our love of the O's and the Ravens and the Penn State Nittany Lions and West Virginia Mountaineers and the Towson Tigers, all of those other loves, they have their place, but it's a lower place. It's not the first place. They are gifts from God. They are not God. Hear, O Israel. Hear, O Severna Park. The Lord our God is one. And number one, the first among all things, the place where we are to give all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. May we be reminded of that this day as we gather around this table as we gather and give our hearts once more to God, the one who is always, always given himself for us. Amen.